Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is something burning? No, it's just time for the WIP Evening Show Hot Stove Check-In.
Yes, it is that time of night, the WIP Hot Stove Check-In. Joe Giulio with you. And how about this? For the first time in a while, we have something to talk about.
We're not just deciphering the latest Bryce Harper rumor.
Yeah, we're not just picking apart every word of every tweet of every insider, trying to figure out what the heck it means. And tonight, we're going to bring on a guy we've had on for this segment many times this winter. And most of it's been like, hey, what do we think's going to happen? Well, tonight we know something did happen. The Phillies trade for the best catcher in baseball. Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philadelphia, the At the Yard podcast as well, joins us right now to talk about this trade. Jim, how you doing, man?
Doing well, Joe. How are you?
Good, and we have something actually to sink our teeth into here. JT Realmuto is a Philly. Jim, what were your initial impressions on, I guess, one, when the Phillies got back in it the other day and you started hearing something could happen, and then as it all came down today?
Well, you know, when I heard they were back in it, my first thought was, wow, the price must really have dropped, because at the winter meetings, there were a bunch of teams in it, a bunch of teams jockeying for position, trying to get him. And I spoke to a Marlins official at the winter meetings, and he flat out said, you know, the Phillies don't have enough. They don't have enough high-end guys that we're a match with. You look at other teams' boards, and they have superior guys, and that's who we're going to be a match with. And it kind of went away, but, you know, Klentak, to his credit, as this thing dragged on, stayed in touch with the Marlins management, and he said that he popped them a text on Saturday night with some ideas, and it took off from there. And as they landed it, indeed the price did come down, and I think the Phillies made a heck of a score. You add the best catcher in baseball, as you say, that makes Alfaro obviously expendable. Giving up six, though, stings a little bit. Anytime you give up a promising prospect, it stings because you don't know what that guy could become. He could still become a very good major league pitcher. He also could become a reliever. He's also had a tender elbow. He made eight starts at the Class A level this year. That's it. I don't think that's a guy you let hold up a deal like this. And they closed it out. They had to add a third guy. And they did not, you know, have to dig into their upper echelon of prospects in coming up with that third guy to complete the deal. So, you know, I think Klentak's had a hell of a winter. He's inched it forward with three separate deals from McCutchen, Segura, and Robertson. In addition, he moved on from Santana and got Hoskins to first base. And now he delivers a pretty good right hook there and lands JT Realmuto. And that doesn't just inch it. I think that is a significant upgrade. And they haven't spent the stupid money yet. They could even do more. So a very good winter could even get better, Joe.
It could, Jim. And when you think about this winter, you mentioned all the moves there. It doesn't give off the feel of a team that is just thinking about competing this year, but really opening the window next year or the year after. It feels like a team that's opening their window to win right now. And, Jim, all the guys they brought in, they're all, as of right now, under team control for 2 or 3 years. They're all either in their prime or kind of the back end of what they'll be, like McCutchen and Robertson. They're screaming at us that they think they could win this year. That's at least the way I read it.
They're screaming at me that they haven't been to the postseason since 2011, that they're reaching the end of this rebuild, and that, you know, that playoff drought is just too damn long, and it's time to make baseball buzz with some relevancy again in this town. And those moves kind of, you know, hint to that, and adding one of the big guys I think will really be the slam dunk and make it all important again in this town, because it needs to be important again.
Jim, how much do you think adding a guy like Realmuto moves the needle? I think we all realize money is the obviously deciding factor of where Machado and or Harper end up, but this can't hurt. And we know that JT Realmuto and Bryce Harper have they're friends, and Harper wanted him in D.C. last year when during that trade deadline was going on. Do you think this moves the needle at all in terms of one of those guys potentially choosing Philadelphia?
Look, I don't think either one of those guys wants to go to a team that's going to finish in fifth place. And they're probably both in line for significantly long-term deals. They want to go to a place that's going to win over the long haul. So, you make a trade like this for a player like that, yes, it's going to get your attention. But is it going to get their attention more than dollar signs? I don't think so. I think that's what both of them are in it for. And that's good news for the Phillies. Cash is still their greatest resource. I think if they're patient, they're going to end up with one of them, because these guys are baseball players. And guess what? Work begins next week. And at some point, they're going to wake up and say, it's time to go to work. The Philadelphia Phillies have made me a big offer. In Machado's case, I would say they probably made him the biggest offer. It's time to go get it, one of you guys.
Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philadelphia, joining us here, talking about the JT Realmuto trade and what it means moving forward. Jim, how good is Realmuto? Because I think one glance at his numbers probably doesn't tell the story the Phillies are probably reading with the way they look at him, because his numbers are good, but catching number one is down in baseball. There's 10 good catchers right now. He's the best one. And two, it just feels like you get out of that park in Miami and numbers explode.
Oh, that's huge. His career numbers are just phenomenally better away from Marlins Park, which is a big cavernous place. The roof is closed. The ball doesn't jump. He's going to come here and he's going to be a different hitter. He's going to hit you 30 doubles, 25 home runs in this ballpark. I would say 25 plus. He's a good offensive catcher. And catchers don't hit anymore, and this is a guy that actually does hit. So I just love the offensive upgrade, what he does to the lineup. I also like what he does behind the plate, especially the way I think he can lead that staff, bond with that staff, especially those back three guys, Eflin, Pivetta, Velasquez, you even add Eichhoff and others that are on their way. I think he's a competitive guy. He's got some experience now, 4 years, I believe. And I think he can look these guys in the eyes and challenge them. He's a very competitive guy. He was a great high school football player. He's a smart, cerebral catcher, blocks balls well, does a lot of things well. But I think the big intangible here is that the potential to make the back end of the staff better by building a chemistry, by challenging those guys, by being kind of the leader of the team within a team, meaning the pitcher-catcher team.
Jim, now the question is, how long will they have JT Realmuto? He's under contract for 2 years, so it's not like he's a free agent to be, but it's 2 years, not four. I'd feel much better. I'd feel even better than I do now if I knew he was going to be here really long term. Do you think that could be something they look into before he gets closer to free agency?
Absolutely. They look into everything like that. I'm sure they're looking into it with Rhys Hoskins and Aaron Nola as we speak. I actually asked Klentak earlier tonight if he sought a negotiating window to try to extend him. I think if he only had 1 year of control, maybe they would have done that. Klentak said that he did not seek that window, but he said it was something that this would be the type of guy they'd look to do something with down the road, which is code for we'd love to extend him. He's going to play at 28 this year, play at 29 in his last year of control. He should be still in his prime after that. I could see them definitely pursuing some type of an extension here. And you know what? If this town starts to buzz again like it once did for baseball and the seats start filling up and the team starts playing better like we think it can because their talent is getting better, it's going to be a place he wants to stay. They want to sign one of these two big guys. Just the moves they've made this winter and the potential addition of one of those big guys tells me they're going to be in contention. And if they're in contention and they see a hole, they're not going to let this year of contention slip through their hands. They're going to go out at the break and fill that hole. If it means a Madison Bumgarner as a hired gun, I think they'll be in on that. So I think exciting times are returning for baseball, and I would think if it happens like I think it can happen, this would be a place that Real Muto would like to stay.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. I'm excited for this season to start. Spring training next week. Jim, appreciate you hopping on. We'll be reading, watching, and listening, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, my pleasure. Take care, guys.
There he goes. Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Couple things there that I thought were interesting that Jim said. One, that he asked Matt Klentak about a negotiating window. They didn't seek that, but it seems like the Phillies are already thinking about the idea of extending Real Muto's contract, which I think is important because you don't give up what they gave up to say, 2 years, we'll see what we can do with you, and then bye-bye, we'll let you go into free agency and hope you come back. I would hope they don't allow that to happen and he gets signed up and he's here for 4 years, 5 years, not just 2 years. And I think what Jim said there is important too at the end with they have an urgency not only to compete again, but to start winning again. And he mentioned there the trade deadline coming up this summer. If they're in this thing, which it's hard to believe with the team they've assembled, they won't be a contender again this coming year. I mean, they were in it last year, that they're going to not stop and they're going to go get the missing piece. So it feels like the dominoes are falling and they've been falling now for the Phillies for a couple months, but the big one fell today, and there's another big one that could continue to fall soon, and maybe another one into the season. All right, let's do a couple things here. Well, I mean, we've done a lot on Real Muto today with our hot stove check-in, really across the show since we started, but I want to do this because I think it's fun. Everybody out there, when a baseball team changes as much as the Phillies have and they start getting good, I think everyone starts thinking about what's the lineup going to be. And we don't know yet which superstar the Phillies, I'm assuming they're going to get one. We don't know which one yet. But let's have some fun with it because I already started seeing some lineups today on Twitter. Let me give you Buster Olney. Buster Olney of ESPN. I want to hear Jack's. I mean, Jack had one on Twitter today. Just I started melting down as I read it.
You're still not over it, are you?
I'm not over it. You had McCutchen batting last. Anyway, Buster Olney of ESPN put this out there. I think it was interesting. Right as the trade sweepstakes was going down, he put out a lineup that could be the Phillies lineup in 2019 with the idea that maybe Bryce Harper's coming next. So here is how Buster Olney of ESPN wrote out the Phillies lineup today. Leading off and playing left field, Andrew McCutchen. Batting second at shortstop, Gene Segura. Batting third in right field, Bryce Harper. Batting fourth at first base, Rhys Hoskins. Batting fifth, catching JT Realmuto, batting sixth and playing center field, Odubel Herrera, batting seventh and third base, Michael Franco, and batting eighth and playing second base, Cesar Hernandez. I'm not sure if Gabe Kapler would do it that way, but that's a pretty darn good lineup. When you have, I mean, just think about that lineup right there, and you have Harper and you have Hoskins and you have Realmuto back to back to back. That's pretty darn good. Jack, what's yours?
Well, I have since modified my lineup earlier. Here's the thing. I want a high OBP guy at the bookends of my lineup.
Top and bottom.
So I originally, in my lineup I put out this morning, I thought of McCutchen in the 9-hole because he's a 350 to 400 OBP guy,
yep,
along with Cesar Hernandez. But McCutchen is the far superior offensive player. I've decided to put him at leadoff. So he'll be my leadoff hitter. Gene Segura in the 2-hole, Hoskins 3, Harper 4, Real Muto 5. I am trading Michael Franco and I'm signing Mike Moustakas.
Okay.
Who's going to give me 35 home runs? Odubel, Nola, and Cesar Hernandez.
It's pretty good.
I mean, that's a deep lineup.
All right, let me give you mine. Gene Segura leadoff, Harper batting second, Real Muto batting third, Hoskins fourth, McCutchen fifth, Herrera sixth. I'm with Jack. I'm going to trade away Franco and sign Mike Moustakas. Nola eighth, pitcher eighth, and Cesar Hernandez nine.
And me and James got into this conversation on the High Hopes podcast, which you can subscribe to on iTunes.
Of course.
Some would say it's the best Phillies podcast out there. Not me.
There's t-shirts, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Is that lineup better than the 08 lineup?
Well, we were looking at this before the show. And if you go back and look at the 08 Phillies lineup, and they scored 799 runs that year. Now, each era of baseball is different, so you might say, well, that was a lot, well, compared to everybody else. That team had two black holes offensively, the 08 Phillies. Pedro Feliz and and Carlos Ruiz at that point was not a good offensive player. He became one as the years went on. If the Phillies roll out a lineup, let's just play this out. Realmuto, a catcher, best catcher in baseball. Obviously not a black hole. He's a really good offensive player. Hoskins at first. Cesar, who I think was average, a little below average last year, but he's better than that.
The broken foot didn't help.
Yeah, he's better than that. He's an above average player. Segura, well above average. At third base, Franco could be average if they upgrade there. It could be Machado. He's well above average. I mean, he's extremely above average. Or it could be Moustakas, who they've been rumored to. He's above average. McCutcheon's well above average still. Herrera is above average. And if it's Harper and Wright, he is considerably above average. There's not one bad player. There's not one bad offensive player who say, that guy's an easy out. Like Alfaro was an easy out. Kingery was an easy out.
And you can finally retweet your old tweet about how they have the deepest lineup in the NL.
I was just a little early on that.
You knew this was happening.
That's right. Let's talk to Tyler, who's up next. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man. What's up?
All right. Just I'll be real quick and get to the point. I love the lineup the way it's situated. But I'm genuinely concerned about our pitching staff. I mean, Nola, if he's going to have a better year than he did last year, then he's going to be a Cy Young contender, if not the Cy Young Award winner.
Right. It's a lot to ask for him to be better. If he's the same, I'll take that.
Right. So, I mean, do you see a move in the future? I mean, I would love to get Keuchel in, but that's my main concern heading into this season at this point is where the starting pitching. You have a young staff. They've had a lot of mileage from last year, and heading into a year like this, to ask them to do the same, I just feel like by the time we get to September, you know, the mileage might rack up for them.
It might. I think Tyler did last year. I mean, if you go back and look at their numbers at the end of July, they were one of the top 10 rotations in baseball. And then August and September, they completely fell off a cliff. I think they got tired. Look, I like all three of the young guys in varying degrees. I do think if they're going to make the playoffs and be a threat this year, Tyler, they're going to need another starting pitcher at some point. I don't know if they have to force it right now and go get Keuchel right now. It could be through a trade in July, but it's just hard to imagine they get enough out of all five of them. And really, when you think about it, Tyler, they were really healthy last year. They didn't have one guy have a major injury. The odds say they're going to lose one of these guys this year. As long as it's not Nola, they can get away with it, but they're going to need another arm.
I absolutely agree. And I'll leave it at that. That's just my main concern.
You got it, Tyler.
Thanks
I appreciate
for taking my call.
You got it, man. I think that's going to be the main concern. Because maybe it's Keuchel, but I mean, Howard's been saying it for a while, and he seems to have someone he's talking to that knows something that they're probably not going to address starting pitching until the season starts.
Yeah, and you hope that experience they gained pitching into September last year is going to carry over to this year. Like, hopefully they learned how to pace themselves, how to come into the season prepared, and that they're ready to go to pitch into September if necessary this year.
They need two of the three to hit, like Pivetta, Velasquez, and Eflin. If two of the three are pretty good this year, they can find one more guy. They can find another pitcher, and they can go make a trade. If two of those guys flop, or all three do, that could derail what they've built. And I don't think that will happen, because I have high hopes for Pivetta, and I think they're going to get enough out of one of the other two.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. Pivetta's not even a question anymore.
To everyone but us, he is. This show, he's not. He's a sure
not
thing.
Even a question.
Yeah, he's an ace, according to you.
He's the second ace.
888-729-9494, #9494. On your AT&T Verizon wireless cell phones. We'll come back. Your phone calls. Pair of tickets to the second annual Carson Wentz Audience of One Foundation charity softball game and the Home Run Derby. It's 3-Question Thursday. Famous Philadelphia sports trades. We'll do that. We'll say goodbye to Markelle Fultz. And more thoughts on JT Realmuto and his arrival to the Philadelphia Phillies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.